So how does evolution lead to speciation? Well, it depends on the type of selection pressure and the way selection occurs on individuals in the population. There are many, many selection pressures. Abiotic ones are physical factors, like temperature of the air or length of the growing season. Biotic selection pressures are those presented by living organisms, like predation or competition. Each of the graphs below is a frequency distribution of a hypothetical trait, a typical bell curve, where most individuals hover near the mean or average trait in the middle, while a lower proportion of individuals possess the traits at the two extremes. So height of humans would be an example of a typical bell curve. Most people are average height. There's a few really short people and a few really tall people. Let's look first at stabilizing selection, the graph on the left. Here, selection favors the average trait. You can see the dotted line shows the effect of selection pushing the extremes inward toward the mean. Individuals at either extreme are less fit, less likely to survive to reproductive age. Can you think of any examples of stabilizing selection? Selection that reinforces the mean? Well, one that is well known is human birth weights. What are the selection pressures here? Why are human birth weights hovering around a particular mean? Well, perhaps babies that are too small are less likely to survive due to related genetic defects. While for babies that are too big, the mother may be more likely to die in childbirth. How do you think advanced medicine is affecting the natural selection on human birth weight? So take a look now at directional selection. Directional selection occurs when the selective force tends to push a trait toward one end of the bell curve or the other. There are lots of examples. Fish, for example, are getting smaller as humans preferentially kill the big ones. Another one you may be familiar with is moths getting darker during the Industrial Revolution in England. As coal, soot covered surfaces everywhere, darker moths became more difficult for predators to see, and so they survived to produce darker offspring. The entire population of moths became darker in color. That's an example of directional selection. Note that both stabilizing selection and directional selection do not necessarily lead to speciation. In all of the cases I mentioned, they just caused a single species to change genetically and phenotypically over time, but do not necessarily cause one species to differentiate into two. In divergent selection, the graph on the right, the selective force works against the individuals that have the average trait, pushing down the mean and causing the frequency of the two extremes to increase. One example might be evolution in insects caused by bats that tend to forage during the twilight hours of dawn and dusk. This pressure of predation during dawn and dusk would select for insects to become either nocturnal or diurnal, but not active at dawn or dusk. Competition between individuals in a population can provide pressure for them to move away from each other or use resources differently, like some hunting up in the trees while others hunt on the ground. This can also lead to divergence and speciation. Arctic environments, for example, may favor rabbits that are either black or white, but not gray, because black ones can hide in dark crevices between rocks, and white ones can hide in the snow, but gray ones show up in both. How might melting in the Arctic affect the evolution of the color of rabbits? Only divergent selection, sometimes also called differential selection, can result in one species splitting into two or more. Perhaps you can find or think of other examples of divergent selection. Note that there may be more than one selection pressure of various strengths acting on a population simultaneously, and the net effect on a species' evolution will reflect the balance and trade-offs of all these forces.